Con el under $3 menu de McDonald's, un McChicken es solo $1.50. Resulta que ser el héroe de tu primita solo te cuesta $1.50. Por un McChicken, good deal. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for one second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Here it is. It's the early line on a Monday morning on Sports Grid, and the regular season in the NFL is over. I'm Kevin Walsh, joined, of course, by Donnie Wrightside. DRS, how you feeling?
Feeling good today. It's a Monday as we look forward to Super Wild Card Weekend coming up. But also, Kevin, I still think there's a massive football game left over for tonight that we'll also dip into.
Yeah, we certainly will, but we have to begin in Buffalo. The first touchdown of the day came very quickly came very quickly in Bills Patriots. Nyheim Hines with the kickoff return touchdown, his first of two in this football game. Hard to feel as if there was not some magic in the air. Of course, all of the emotion around the Hamlin situation continuing as well. For, you know, those that need that update, getting positive updates around DeMar Hamlin. The Buffalo Bills secure the 2 seed. And if they play the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC title game, it will be on a neutral field.
Yeah, it keeps that alive. It certainly does. But also, we were saying, like, man, you got Nyheim Hines. Why don't you use him? When is this guy actually going to be featured? Well, he was featured on 2 kick returns, which is amazing stuff. And that game ends up 35-23, which means they really needed both of those kick returns in order to cash that ticket.
Yeah, they absolutely did. Game goes well over the number. In doing so, the Buffalo Bills knocked the New England Patriots out of the playoffs. Who they let in, we'll let you know in a moment. In terms of knocking out of the playoffs, though, that's what Sunday Night Football was all about. Dan Campbell keeping it at 100. We're not worried about benching anybody. We want to eliminate those guys. Straight to it, and that is exactly what the Detroit Lions did by a score of 20-16, knocking out the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, my pick six on Friday, I said I didn't care what the heck happened on Sunday night as long as Detroit actually showed up to the stadium. I thought there was a legitimate chance they would win at a plus 198. Also said, hold off until the last moment, because if they are eliminated, you're going to get a better price, which you could have gotten there. The Detroit Lions, they're just built differently. They had an unbelievable close to the season, but it's one of those rare instances where you say to Kevin, look at this game. They're out of it. Why should they play anybody? You knew Detroit was coming in like, hey, this is like the Super Bowl for us. If we can't move on, we're taking Green Bay with us. And they did.
They certainly did. And then Rodgers, because of course he did, before he even left the field, started up rumors of retirement or leaving or whatever it might be. So we get to unpack that again. And I honestly cannot wait. Shout out to the Lions. They send the Seattle Seahawks to the playoffs. We mentioned the Bills eliminating the New England Patriots. It makes way for the Miami Dolphins to sneak in as they beat the New York Jets 11-6. Brutal beat for those that took the Jets plus the points as the pitch never going to work play ended in a safety this time instead of a defensive touchdown. Skylar Thompson finishing this game with 152 yards. But that was enough as the Dolphins salvaged their season and make the playoffs.
Yes, and it was a horrible effort across the board, but credit the Miami Dolphins for holding off those upstart New York Jets with Flacco at quarterback. They do win 11-6, and you're right. When it comes down to handicapping, Kevin, that was an amazing last play. And by the way, does that ever work? Like, push the football downfield 1 or 2 laterals. If it doesn't work, it's not going to go anywhere. I love the fact that you throw it back to your end zone as if your entire offense is going to regroup in the end zone and go forward as if you're in Braveheart. Stop it.
I mean, they're going to keep trying. It's brutal, though, again, if you did take the Jets plus the points. In that moment, those guys certainly are not concerned about that spread. Our radio audience joins us here on a Monday morning. Kevin Walsh, Donnie Wright, side of the early line on SiriusXM, channel 159. And on Saturday, we had two games. The early game saw the Chiefs lock up the one seed in the AFC. In the late game, so the Jacksonville Jaguars make the climb from not just the worst overall record in the AFC South, but the worst overall record in the National Football League. As they win that division, they beat the Tennessee Titans, finish up 9-8, and Trevor Lawrence and Doug Peterson are going to be hosting an opening round playoff game.
How about that? A monster play by the defense comes up late and wins that football game. Otherwise, boy, what a story to tell if the Tennessee Titans, you know, leaking oil down the stretch, actually had Josh Dobbs on the road with the victory, and they were in line to do that. A massive game by Henry. We'll talk about it a little bit later. But credit the Jaguars, 9-8. They're headed to the playoffs with a home game.
We talk about collapses, though. The Tennessee Titans at one point in this season beat the Green Bay Packers on a Thursday night and were 7-3. They finished this season 7-10. Tough look for Tennessee. A tough look for the Philadelphia Eagles. It could have been had they sacrificed that one seed, but they called Jalen Hurts back in, and they beat the New York Giants 22-16. It was never as close as this final score indicates, and the Birds really do not care about how close it was. The NFC playoffs go through Philadelphia.
Yeah, sleepwalking. By the way, Davis Webb, one of those guys you figured has no wheels at all, actually showed some wheels yesterday. It was interesting to try to watch it, and it did actually come down to an onside kick where the Philadelphia Eagles recovered and ended the game. But it was 19-0 at one point. The Eagles were in cruise control, and now the number one overall seed, and the NFC goes through Philly.
Speaking of number one overall, the number one overall pick belongs to the Chicago Bears. They did their part getting absolutely smashed by the Vikings because they threw Nathan Peterman out there and made sure Justin Fields was nowhere to be found. The Texans, they beat the Jeff Saturday-led Indianapolis Colts 32-31 thanks to a miraculous touchdown followed by a two-point conversion. Oh, by the way, Lovie Smith was fired last night.
Yeah, and he was going to get fired regardless of that situation, but they end up winning. I mean, Texans, you have one job to do. Just don't convert fourth and 20s. They do it. Don't get two-point conversions. They do it. Just ridiculousness, but that's what that franchise is at this point.
Monday Night Football tonight, the college football playoff national championship game between Georgia and TCU. We'll get to that and a lot more next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We begin with the last teams to get in. On the NFC side, the Green Bay Packers needed to win at Lambeau Field against the Detroit Lions. Aaron Rodgers needed to not be swept by the Lions in a single season. The Packers needed to beat Jared Goff in freezing temperatures at the frozen tundra. I know the spread was 4.5. You saw that money line was juiced as all get out, almost minus 250. Because even if the Lions were going to keep this close, which I understand the idea, the upset to me was not something I could fathom. And Donnie, I know you could. But everything that I've seen from Rodgers, even during this down season, told me they would win this game. The Lions took a lead in this game 13-9. And it felt like just 10 seconds later, Rodgers was in the end zone on a touchdown to Alan Lazard, making this 16-13. And again, I felt confirmed that this was a game Aaron Rodgers would not lose. And then he lost it. And this team lost. And what was a disaster season turning into a salvageable season went right back to full-on disaster. The Packers had everything right in front of them, set up exactly how they wanted it, and instead finished their season on the losing end to the Detroit Lions in Green Bay.
Freezing cold day in Lambeau Field. Isn't that what you want to go up against a dome team here? Get some revenge on the Lions where you didn't play early on. By the way, it was like a 15-9 type game that Detroit won. So then you put center stage on Sunday Night Football, just winning it in, and the NFL sets it up perfectly for them where the Detroit Lions have no business making it into the playoffs. Why? Because they were already knocked out of the playoffs by the Seattle win earlier in the day. But we knew the Lions were going to give an honest effort, and I bet the Lions were going to give an honest effort, and they did. But you know what I'm tired of in Green Bay? It's not the defense or, you know, we're folding up shop because they only gave up 20 total points and they should have won that game. But how many times do you have to see this play where the best play for the Packers now is like on a third and long, Aaron Rodgers throws it all directly up in there like a punt and hopes a wide receiver comes down with it. Whatever happened to that precision passing game that the Packers should have? Oh, I know. You get rid of all your wide receivers, and this is what you're actually left with here. I'm not surprised at all. But you know what I love too, Kevin? More so about the game itself. Hey, Aaron, what are you going to do next year? Why does he play the whole song and dance again, Kevin, like this? I could retire, do this or that. No, I'm going to hold the feet, you know, feet to the fire here for the Green Bay Packers to get me some weapons. No, that's not going to happen. You're going to make like $50 million next year. You're going to come back, and it's going to be the exact same thing. Because here's a hint for you, Green Bay. Your first round draft pick will be a cornerback. So deal with that, Aaron Rodgers.
We need a little help on the defensive line. I mean, Jamal Williams was eating us up. Why would we even look any other direction? It's funny because I knew Devontae Adams would be relevant today. Even last night, I thought about Devontae Adams and basically the fact that this was a back-to-back one seed in the NFC. Devontae Adams leaves and they miss the playoffs. But you know what I also remember, Donnie? Because the back-to-back one-seed teams lost in disappointing fashion each of those 2 years. And the narrative each of those two seasons was, imagine if they could add somebody with Devontae Adams. And they proceeded to just get rid of Devontae Adams. And the even better thing is, Christian Watson, who eventually broke out as this season went on, is that's what they should have been doing. This was a second-round draft choice in Christian Watson, as they continue to pass on first-round wide receiver talent. For those that turn the game off or miss kind of the whatever the conversation was, Jamal Williams asked Aaron Rodgers, former teammates, hey, man, let me get your jersey. Obviously an emotional game for Jamal Williams. Not one, but two touchdowns, giving him the single possession of the franchise record for touchdowns in a single season, passing Barry Sanders for the Detroit Lions, wants to remember the game. And Rodgers, very dramatically, you know, almost scripted in its nature, I think I'm going to hold on to this one. And then he says in the post-game press conference, look, I'm not going to leave this organization in limbo. I'm going to let them, you know, I'm going to give them an idea of what I want to do. Here's the thing, though, Donnie. I don't know what he wants to do. I really don't. I know you're going to say he's going to be right back. I hear you. But I don't know if he thinks that, I don't know if he's considering retirement. I don't know if he's considering being moved on from. Even if you think it's not a real considering, Donnie, I don't even know what I'm supposed to be thinking Rodgers is thinking.
All right, so let's get the tape on here, which is great. So we're live on the air. Here's what's going to happen. Aaron Rodgers loves the speculation. Aaron Rodgers wants to put the thought out here he's going to retire. Aaron Rodgers wants everybody in the town of Green Bay, Appleton, Wisconsin, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, to beg him not to go. He's going to show up at Milwaukee Bucks games, going to pound beers. He's now dating, I think, the Milwaukee Bucks owner's daughter here. He wants all this attention. He'll go on Pat McAfee weekly here, not give any updates at all. But let's remember, he's a quarterback. He's like a prize fighter. You can't give up the crowd. And it's not as if Ken was like, hey, man, look, I'm at the last year of my deal. They're not going to renegotiate with me. I'm only making $1.5 million. He's going to get over $50 million to come back next year. He just wants to feel the love. Woe is me. We didn't win. Oh, boy, this is tough. I'm going to tell you right now, Aaron Rodgers, week one, will be a Green Bay Packer, and that's the way it is.
On the record right there from Donnie. The Lions help out the Seahawks, who beat the Rams 19-16 walk-off style in overtime. Seattle is in. We'll talk more about them later. Even if the team they beat, a 5-12 team, is more in the news than they are. But speaking of some help, the Dolphins needed help. The Dolphins got some help from the Buffalo Bills. We'll talk about them. But really, the biggest help the Miami Dolphins got, Donnie, was from the New York Jets. Whole offensive line out. In comes the immobile Joe Flacco, and the Dolphins win this game without a single touchdown. A safety gets them a cover on an 11-6 line. We sit here right now. The Dolphins are going to line it up against the Buffalo Bills in the playoffs. It is a double-digit spread, and it is one of those things that there are three options on the table. It's hard to know what's in line here. Skylar Thompson, this is ugly. Teddy Bridgewater, it's probably bad. Maybe they'll cover. Two is back. Things for the Dolphins could get very, very interesting. At the minimum, though, the Dolphins are in the playoffs.
Yeah, the Dolphins are in the playoffs, and you watched that team yesterday. If you are a Dolphins fan, forget about if you got a miracle cover or you had the Jets. Let's just take this game in a snapshot here. What gives you hope here, the Miami Dolphins, you know, careening off the road late in the season and then put that performance together from a team that the Jets were dead in the water and basically said to any of our capable quarterbacks, guys, you're not going to play. I can't risk you getting injured because we don't have anything on the offensive line that can protect you. Joe Flacco, this is what we paid you for. Go out there and make things happen. I believe his passing prop was like 212, 215, 220 yards, somewhere in that range. He finished with 149. I'm actually kind of astounded that he got that far. And the quite frankly, the matter is, he is a professional. Do you know the Miami Dolphins with that pass rush didn't sack him one time, but he was under duress for a long, long portion of that game. But this came down right to the end. We had like a horse collar tackle that put you in the field goal range. Miami didn't even earn this win. This was one of those where the Dolphins are coming into this game saying, we need to win to get in. And the Jets are coming down going, we don't even have anything to try to compete. And this game was basically a 9-6 ball game until that last safety at the end. The Dolphins didn't show me much, and quite frankly, if Tua isn't going to play this weekend, which I would be absolutely shocked if he does, who's showing up for the Dolphins? I mean, they're going to be one and out real quick with a 30-degree temperature on the horizon against the Buffalo Bills here in the playoffs.
They, though, did, Donnie, not rule out Tua Tagovailoa playing in this game, and there is no way that anybody can act as if Tua coming back would not drastically change the outlook for the Miami Dolphins. They played twice. Tua beat them once. The other game was decided by a field goal. We'll do this a lot throughout the week. We'll even do it in hour number two. But that 10.5 line, at minimum, is under double digits if Tua Tagovailoa checks back in. Now, I still wouldn't necessarily be holding my breath for Tua to return for the Miami Dolphins, but the Dolphins have also had Tua out there and available at times when people didn't think he would be during this season. I think we'll find out. For the Dolphins, again, they almost ended in complete disaster compared to the Jets, who lose 6 in a row, the Titans, who lose 7 in a row. Even if the 9-8's a bit disappointing, it could have been a lot worse for the Dolphins. We talk about the team that helped them out at the top of the AFC after this quick break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back live right here on SportsGrid as we look now at the top of the AFC. We very well could have the conference championship game played on a neutral field. We mentioned the Dolphins made it in. They would have not been able to do so if not for the team that they are now going to play in the opening round, the Buffalo Bills beating the New England Patriots. This game started with a storybook open. Nyheim Hines, 96 to the house. The fact that he then did it again in the second half, 101 to the house, is unbelievable. And I know it's maybe a bit cliche, it's a bit corny, but it's hard to ignore the circumstances around the Buffalo Bills, DeMar Hamlin, and everything that went into the emotion for the Buffalo Bills going into this game. They get the victory 35-23. They cover the number against the Pats in a game that goes well over the listed total. Josh Allen with 3 touchdown passes in the season finale, as the Bills are the number 2 seed in the AFC with a chance to avoid Arrowhead if they meet up with Kansas City.
It was a good win by the Buffalo Bills. It really was, because you saw that line, 7, 7.5, 8, 8.5, depending on where you were getting that at. You looked at yourself and said, now hold on. New England Patriots here are win and in here. And we know Bill Belichick can scheme well, but it wasn't even that case of it. It was the Buffalo Bills side of it. Not getting out to practice till late Thursday, worried about your brother who's in the hospital. Is he going to make it? Is he not going to make it? How about some updates as opposed to focusing on your playbook? That was a pretty honest effort by the Buffalo Bills. And you're right. It was a storybook start to the game with a kick six right off the bat, which is absolutely phenomenal here. Nyheim Hines takes that to the house. They need both of his kick returns, but just the focus of the Bills. But also, Kevin, here's what I want to look at. Forget about the game itself. Allen, 254, 3 scores and an interception. It's hard to put up video game type numbers in a game when you have 2 kickoffs, therefore probably losing 2 possessions in the game. I thought the Buffalo Bills operated just fine, but the thing I look at here is the Buffalo Bills finished 13-3. 16 games, right? Yeah, well, they missed the 17th game because that was going to be the game against the Bengals, which isn't made up. But take a look at the Buffalo Bills at home, Kevin. 7-1 on the season. If you remember back, you remember their only loss, that ridiculousness fumble into the end zone going up against the Minnesota Vikings? So let's call it, outside of that freak, unbeaten at home. Here's the issue, though. The Kansas City Chiefs are a very good football team, Kevin. And that looks like we're probably going to get into that environment where you have a neutral site AFC. Now, you know me, rooting all the way along with the Buffalo Bills throughout the season. I had a ticket there with the FanDuel Sportsbook at a 6-1 price for them to win. I cashed it out because I was banking on Buffalo was going to be that number one overall seed, which technically they're not, even though they won't have to go to Arrowhead if they make it that far. That was the atmosphere that I was waiting for the Buffalo Bills to go all the way through, Kevin, and win the AFC. The picture gets a little bit more clouded, but yesterday, credit the Buffalo Bills organization for being focused in a big-time environment where they had to win and also the other team had to win, and they came out victorious here and covered the spread.
Yeah, I think for Buffalo, avoiding a trip to Arrowhead is solid. Again, they would have been favored to fall back to the 3 seed had Bills Bengals resumed. Cincinnati, by the way, has been pretty vocal about their displeasure with how things were decided, and they have every right to be. There's no reason that a 2-3 Bills Bengals semifinal game should be played in Buffalo as opposed to a neutral site. Again, a lot of half measures were taken by the NFL in this process there, and I don't really know why. But for the Buffalo Bills, it has worked out well enough. I think in this game, look, they were not markedly better than the New England Patriots. If you look at the yardage in this game, the Pats actually had 14 more yards. The yards per play were all pretty similar. But there was some magic here for the Buffalo Bills, and that happens. And I think what's going to happen is people are going to talk about Bills magic from now and throughout this postseason. But the Bills are going to have to win this with the talent that's on that roster, and we know they're one of the most talented rosters in the sport. But it is the Kansas City Chiefs with the 1 seed. The Chiefs beat the Vegas Raiders on Saturday 31-13. The Vegas Raiders, if their only goal in this game was to make sure that Patrick Mahomes didn't set the passing yards record on them, then they played one heck of a football game. They had 2 drives that equaled just under 17 minutes that went for a combined 3 points. They took up all the time of possession while striking none of the fear in the Kansas City Chiefs that they were going to lose this game. Mahomes probably locking up MVP as well, all in the process here, as well as now not having to play during wild card weekend.
Yeah, and they look like a really good football team. And isn't that what you're supposed to say when they're 14-3 on the season? It's just the way it is. And going into that game, you're saying to yourself, could we get a little lightning in the bottle here for the Raiders who showed up the previous week and maybe Stidham had a lot of magic in his arm? Well, came back down to earth. 219, 1 touchdown, 1 interception, a QBR rating of 31.4. By the way, that slides scale goes all the way up to 100, just to let you know. Hey, maybe Josh Jacobs going to go wild here as he will be the rushing leader for the NFL, 45 yards on the ground. They didn't have to do all that much. And showing from a Ronald Jones 10-carry performance and a touchdown, you knew they were looking to just get in, get out with a victory, and let the chips fall where they may in the playoffs if they get to the AFC Championship game, and now it's on a neutral site. But I think everybody was lined up, including the FanDuel Sportsbook, when you're hanging prices on Mahomes passing prop, not an alternate passing prop, of close to 330 yards, and we only got 202, because there was a chance, and we talked about it last week, Kevin, that, man, if Mahomes could get like 120 yards by like midway through the, you know, first half or end of the first quarter, he's probably going for it. Well, you can't go for anything when the other team holds the football for 8-minute drives here. What you were anticipating or hoping for was a legitimate shootout. Just that the Las Vegas Raiders didn't get that memo here. Mahomes finishes with 202 and a touchdown. Easy win and cover over the Raiders.
And what is most important for Kansas City, Arrowhead is a difficult place to play, though they have lost twice in that building this year, most notably once to the Buffalo Bills. Getting the bye is massive. You now have, there's less chances for you to lose a football game. 2, you're well-rested. 3, Andy Reid is a basically automatic off of a bye. But 4th and most importantly, you don't have to play the Bills and the Bengals. You play, at most, one of those teams. The Bills and the Bengals are both pretty comfortable favorites in the wild card round. Again, we already talked about Buffalo's going to lay double digits if it's anybody other than Tua Tagovailoa. And the numbers climbing on Cincinnati because it seems like there are still question marks as to whether or not Lamar Jackson is going to be playing in that football game. And if both of those teams handle their business, then they have to play one another head-to-head in an eliminator. While the Chiefs are going out there and dealing with what would be, in this scenario, the winner of Jags Chargers, two teams that they're a combined 3-0 against this season. The path, the bracket, we talk about this all the time. But this year, as much as any year in any conference in seasons past, Donnie, the one seed was so important because now the path for the Kansas City Chiefs is so crucial. Not having to play the Bills and the Bengals is everything that Kansas City could have asked for because they played both of those teams this year and they lost both of those games.
Yeah, the NFL gives a big reward, Kevin, to the number one overall seed, which got even bigger a few years ago when they took out the second bye. You should be cruising in that second bye like, okay, that's half the battle here. We got rest. The other team has rest. We'll probably meet up in the AFC or NFC championship game. But no longer the case now for the Kansas City Chiefs getting rest. And you're right, Andy Reid is the king of coming off byes. You win one game, Kevin, and back into the AFC championship game you go. Now, you're probably not going to be able to host that, at least what we figure, if we're just basing this on the standings. But hey, man, we saw the Cincinnati Bengals look like they were going to light up that Buffalo Bills defensive secondary, and that's how you beat the Bills. They have a lot of weapons to get after. It'll be fun to see it play out, but once again, advantage Kansas City. It seems like Andy Reid, I mean, is he going to play in like 35 straight AFC / NFC championship games? It just feels that way.
Yeah, you know, it's actually, and I don't know when we're going to get to all the award stuff. We'll mention it today where it's relevant, but Andy Reid has not been in the coach of the year conversation for a single second this season, and that's obviously a mistake. The idea that Brian Daboll's 9-win season is that much better than Andy Reid's 14 is preposterous. It's 5 additional wins. We heard that they were going to play in the deepest division in the history of the league. They lost Tyreek Hill. They didn't skip a beat. I know Andy Reid has Patrick Mahomes, but in the same breath, Patrick Mahomes has Andy Reid. And again, it's between Sirianni and Shanahan. That's where I think the coach of the year thing lands. But at no point does anybody even entertain Andy Reid in such a conversation. Though as we get set for the playoffs, take the 14 guys that are out there. How many coaches in the National Football League do you want over Andy Reid, Donnie? When we go out there and do a Chiefs-Bengals preview, and I know last year things fell apart, but Andy Reid versus Zach Taylor, Andy Reid versus Sean McDermott, and it's not even about slights to those guys. It's about who Andy Reid is, what he's accomplished in this league, and what he accomplishes each and every season.
Yeah, no, you're right about it, too. Like, he doesn't get his flowers a lot because he only has the one championship. But it's almost like he's that detriment. It's old LeBron James versus Michael Jordan thing. Hey, Jordan never lost in the finals. Well, he didn't get there enough. Like, did you see the other guys who were getting there? Andy Reid could never win the big game in the AFC-NFC championship game. Well, he has done that before. But my goodness, half the battle is actually making it that far where other people argue, like, oh, this other guy had a better season. Like, you're right, with Brian Daboll. Well, the Kansas City Chiefs overachieved just by their overall team total for the season here. And the fact of the matter is, it's the old Giannis thing I talk about in the NBA. What did he have last night? 29-6-8. That's just a terrible night here. Why? Because he's already that good. Like, what does Andy Reid have to go unbeaten, I guess, to get back into that coach of the year argument? It's pretty crazy. You're right.
And I know it's a bit tongue-in-cheek. I think that might be it. I think the Chiefs would have to be like 15-0, and people would be like, all right, I guess Andy Reid's coach of the year.
He's a good
although,
one.
Again, it'd be like, nah, Mahomes is MVP, and let's get coach of the year to Dan Campbell. Or they'd give it to Brandon Staley, who, by the way, Brandon Staley had a heck of a day yesterday. We'll get to it. But that, man, I mean, I've carved out a lot of time in this show for just one whole segment of me saying, I told you so, uninterrupted for 10 minutes talking about Brandon Staley. We talk about the top of the NFC after a quick break. It's the early line on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The NFC runs through Philly. The Birds welcome back. Jalen Hurts and get a victory over the Giants. 22-16, your final score. Now, the game was not that close. The Birds at one point up in this game, 19-0. They were a 16-17 point favorite in the football game. It ended up being a comfortable cover for Giants backers as the Eagles ended up kicking field goals on 5 of their 6 scoring drives. But really, the 10-0 start that was on the board within about 10 or 11 minutes of this football game signified that the Eagles would be in control and answer any questions the Giants might bring up. What did you take away from this game here where the Eagles did clinch the number one overall seed?
Yeah, just a vanilla performance overall. The Eagles' only goal over the final 3 weeks is just pick up one victory, get a bye week, and then you're home for the holidays, as I like to say, throughout the NFC playoffs. Was it an inspiring performance? No. But what did you want to see? No major injuries from the Eagles? Check. Is Jalen Hurts functional? Check. He threw 35 times. Was he as sharp as he needed to be? No. Was the offensive line intact and looking perfection? No, not necessarily. But you're right about that thing. This wasn't one of those games where it was like, ooh, 3-3 at the end of one, 6-3 Giants at the break, 6-6 Eagles after three quarters, and a late touchdown put it away. The Eagles got out to a comfortable lead and just put this thing into cruise control. A couple crazy plays by the New York Giants, including a Kenny Golladay sighting on a ridiculous touchdown catch. You know, Darius Slay is out here not defending, not intercepting, easy pick six balls. It wasn't a lot of encouragement from, ooh, I needed to see the Eagles drop 40 points in this game to get comfortable. You knew at the outset it was. Go out there and win. You also have to remind yourselves, too, from a player's perspective, the Eagles are coming into this game knowing it's win and in. And all you hear all during the week is the Giants aren't playing any starters. That's the type of performance that you get out here. Davis Webb had some fun. Hey, guys, look at me. Bring my whole family in. My first start of my NFL career. Throws for 168 yards and a touchdown. Again, one of those on that crazy play to Kenny Golladay. But I didn't take much away from this game other than looks like Jalen Hurts a little bit rusty. But in 2 weeks, he's probably going to be 100% and ready to go.
I think for the Eagles, I would have liked to see them play. Again, it didn't need to be a complete football game, but I wish they could have scored another touchdown. Is that because I had the over 42? Yes. But also, I think it would have been nice to see. It did feel as if maybe there was some rust on Hurts. I thought maybe more than rust was hesitation. Whether it is his own personal decision or it was implored to him, you do not take hits. He did not take hits in this game. I know he was sacked three times. At times, things are unavoidable. But he did everything he could to make sure that he did not go down in this game in terms of big-time hits, which is important. But it could change things for the Philadelphia Eagles. Something that you said to me last week, I think it was the idea of, did this actually work out great for the Eagles? And part of that was because they actually then had to see Jalen Hurts play a game before then the playoffs. I do think the answer to that is yes after watching this play out. I think it is probably beneficial for everybody between Hurts himself and the game planning of this coaching staff that Jalen got out there once now with a week break in between. And then the next time will be the playoff game instead of what would have been DRS, that full month layoff.
Exactly. And sometimes that rust usually creeps in. It's rest versus rust there. And what are you going to get more of a benefit out of? I did like the fact also, Kevin, because we spun this around quite a few times last week. Whereas if the Eagles had wrapped things up and actually knocked off the Dallas Cowboys, you know, the rest of the NFC also, I know they're jockeying for position, but a lot more of those teams might have been thinking about resting guys over the final two games. The Eagles kept everybody involved, but the Eagles are the only one that are going to get the bye now. So they have the de facto week off. Other teams around the NFL, which we're going to talk about how they chose to spend their quote unquote free bye week. But if you're just looking at this performance by the Eagles, I needed to see Jalen Hurts get out there, because I tell you what would have been devastating. If he got hurt, they clinched it. We don't see him again until you play, let's just say, the Dallas Cowboys again in your own building, and he struggles. That would be problematic. But at least he knows what his limitations are. The only thing that got me a little bit scrambled here, Kevin, was when the post-game press conference, Nick Sirianni took the podium, was talking about, you know, hey, we didn't play our best performance. It's okay. We're rested. You know, no worse for the wear and tear. But yeah, I talked to Jalen Hurts, and he's really sore after this game. What does that actually mean? Like, were his legs sore? Did he take a hit to the ribs? Is his throwing shoulder really sore? Like, I thought I caught that one a little bit off guard, which they didn't press down on, but I just thought it was an odd thing to see. But again, he's got 2 weeks off to get everything right before they take the field again.
Also, just the kind of comment that usually you would think a coach would avoid. And I'm not sure if that's just a moment of truth from Sirianni, or what, but I agree, it was a bit surprising. Look, for the Eagles, though, this all transitioned once Jalen was injured. It was just get the one seed and go from there. And that's exactly what they did. When a season begins and you tell a team you're the number one overall seed in your conference, you take that every single time. And if they happen to play the Niners, it's not going to be on a neutral field. The postseason runs through Philadelphia, which is exactly what they were looking for. They're a plus 160 favorite in the conference. The second option on the board is the Niners, who once again dominated their opponent. Now, their opponent was horrendous. David Blau is another classic example of, I don't really know why teams are so desperate to employ horrendous quarterbacks. Just, I don't know how these guys stick around. Davis Webb is a six-year NFL career. Yesterday was the first time he ever threw a pass in the National Football League. How these guys swindle their way like this, I do not know, but it is what it is. Corey Clement was out there leading the backfield. Shout out Eagle legend. But the Niners dominated this team up and down. Two touchdowns for George Kittle. Three overall thrown by Brock Purdy. The Niners win 38-13. They did not lose a single game with Brock Purdy as their quarterback.
Yeah, how about that? Three touchdowns, no interceptions again for Purdy. It just seems like anytime they're going to line up that over 1.5 touchdown pass effort for Purdy, he gets over that, even if he only threw for 178 yards, because they got a lot of weapons in the red zone. Anything you do seems like it makes sense. Hand it off to McCaffrey, touchdown. Play action off of McCaffrey. How many guys are wide open there in the end zone, including George Kittle, who seems to really be benefiting here from having Purdy at his starting quarterback. This is probably, outside of the Eagles, the best team overall in the NFC. Now, they'll have a little bit harder stretch here for the Eagles. And again, if they do meet the Eagles and both of these teams win, it will be in Philadelphia. But I'm interested to see now, once you get to the playoffs, how Brock Purdy is going to handle himself, because he's handled it very well all the way through. And also, I mean, I know sometimes we seem a little bit shallow here on the show, but come on now. Hey, Jimmy Garoppolo, you want your Brock Purdy out there? Yeah, good luck with that one.
Yeah, oh yeah. I mean, Jimmy G can hit the bricks. The Niners already told you they didn't believe in him.
I heard he's coming back, though.
Let me tell you something.
I'll make it happen. Make that happen. Please. Please make that happen.
So it would be... Well, when... you know what? I'll be nice. We won't talk about the fact that some reporters are probably going to get an agent to drop them. Jimmy G's never been healthier in his life and is excited for the next franchise and the next... Jimmy G has made the decision to step away from the Niners as he plans for his next move. Yeah, I'm sure he's made that decision. For the San Francisco 49ers, I think it's very clear they've cemented themselves inside a top two with the Philadelphia Eagles. Some will say they're the best team, and I think that is understandable. I think there's been enough questions now with the health of Jalen Hurts, and considering Brock Purdy's not lost the football game, that if you believe the Niners are the best team in the NFC, that's understandable. What's not understandable, and I don't think there's many people left, though, that would have this take, is thinking the Dallas Cowboys are the best team in the NFC. At no point have they looked like the best team in the NFC, but boy, was yesterday something. It really was. If I would have told you the Commanders beat the Cowboys 26-6, you would have said, Dallas ultimately didn't think that the Eagles would lose, and they rested their starters. Well, no, not at all. Dak Prescott played the entire game. 14 for 37, 128 yards, threw a touchdown, one to the Cowboys, and he then threw another touchdown to the Washington Commanders. Dak Prescott managed to lead the NFL in picks with 15. What's so impressive about that is he missed five games this season. He is a turnover machine, and the Cowboys impressively now enter with what feels like lower momentum, and they're less impressive than a Bucs team that finished 8-9 and nearly a negative 50-point differential. Dak in Dallas, baby. What a season clincher.
I mean, I was lining, like, look, my whole prognosis for the NFC playoffs was, since December started, I don't care who, not the Dallas Cowboys, I don't care who the Tampa Bay Buccaneers play, which ends up being the Dallas Cowboys. I'm just going to fade the Buccaneers. Like, they are so bad. And Dallas just one-upped me by going, they played so horrendous yesterday that now I have to question if the Dallas Cowboys are actually worse than a horrendous Tampa Bay Buccaneers team. This was a simple one for you, Jerry Jones. Now, coming into the game, it would have been very simple to do this. Let's play Dak and the boys a series or two, get them out. We don't think the Eagles are going to win, or let's just play maybe a first quarter. We'll check the score. Oh, no, double-digit lead for the Eagles. There's really not much to this. But I love the fact that the Dallas Cowboys talked all week, including Dak Prescott. Hey, man, excited for the game. Got to win, man. Got to win, heading to the playoffs on a high note here. You got smoked. This wasn't even the game, Kevin. It was like 31-30. Like, hey, defense, you got to step up. But boy, Dak was cooking out here. This offense looked good. Away the playoffs we go. They were horrendous the entire way through against a dead football team, starting a kid who's never started an NFL game as a rookie. And oh yeah, that kid, he only threw for 169 yards in this game. Why? Because Dak Prescott looked like he was the rookie and an undrafted type of player. 14 of 37 for 128, a QBR again, Kevin, on a 100 scale. He came in at a 14.8. Horrible. You couldn't have had a worse point. You know what would have even been better, Kevin? If the Dallas Cowboys sat in the Philadelphia Eagles, they lost that game and the Eagles actually lost as well. That would have been better off for the Cowboys here than the performance they gave, because now all everybody doing is saying, like, you're not even riding in on a high at this point, Dallas. You're riding in like your season low right now into the playoffs. Only McCarthy could do that, right?
Well, but I can't. Listen, I love that. Mike McCarthy, nobody has said his name once all season long. I am telling you, he is just desperately waiting to become the star of the show during these playoffs. Do something absolutely fantastic that reminds us he's even on that sideline. Here is the thing with Dak. Okay, I know how this goes. Cowboys up and down. Next week against Tampa Bay, Dak is going to fly over his passing yards prop, throw multiple touchdown passes. I'm already eyeing up a Cowboys team total. The reason why, though, Dallas is so untrustworthy is Dak Prescott has thrown an interception 7 weeks in a row. He has thrown multiple interceptions in 5 games this year. He only played 12. He's had no picks just twice this entire season. He has been the most turnover-prone quarterback in the entire league. Statistically, he is going to bounce back tenfold next week. He is that kind of quarterback. This is this kind of team. Everybody basically getting ready to eliminate Dallas because of this game is the exact opportunity you wait for when you get to the playoffs. However, when this game is 27-17 with 13 left in the fourth quarter, Donnie, and the Cowboys have the football, you'll be sat there saying, where is Tony Pollard? Please just hand this thing off. Because Dak now feels as likely to throw a late touchdown to the Bucs as he does to CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah, it's going to be fun to watch this one play out here to see if which offense can be more inept in prime time. The Dallas Cowboys, one of the more talented teams in football, crashed and burned on a Sunday afternoon. Say it ain't so here. My goodness. But here we are. And also, Kevin, you know who's favored in that football game on Monday night? Yeah, guessed it. It's Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, because the Bucs are horrendous. And let's not forget that. We will talk about that game at the top of hour number two, give you your early look on all of the wild card lines, but we make a quick stop over in the NBA as we close out hour number one right here on SportsGrid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Going over to the NBA quickly as two of the top teams continue to provide us a couple of major storylines. Firstly, the Los Angeles Lakers. They're on a 5-game winning streak. They are starting to really turn this thing around. The 2-10 start looms large, but since that first opening 12 games, they have the fourth best record in the Western Conference and currently are 2 games back of the 5th seed in the West, a half game back of the 8th seed, which now belongs to the Suns, who have lost 6 in a row and are under 500. The other reason the Lakers are in the headlines, though, is a report from Sam Amick, who said that LeBron is tired of waiting and it's getting ridiculous and moves need to be made. LeBron then sent out a tweet thread basically saying, that's not what I said, but everybody knows there needs to be moves. It was all a bit strange. What I think is continuing to happen, though, for the Los Angeles Lakers is they are finding this groove. They are significantly closer to the team that we have now seen over these last, you know, 30-some-odd games than who we saw over the first 12 games. It's a matter of health and potential moves, Donnie, setting this Laker group up for a real run in the Western Conference.
Yeah, you can't win a championship, Kevin, unless you get into the tournament, as they like to say. And the Los Angeles Lakers trying to angle for that. And also, LeBron James knows you need more good talent on that team if you want to succeed. But also, can you look sort of that little, like, you know, through the clouds and into the forest and go, you know what? A lot of these guys are getting some extra time in the issues. Could be valuable experience heading down the stretch. But you want to add AD back to the lineup. And then you also want to add another player, not of AD or LeBron's caliber, but somebody that can hold his own when they're off the court. It's a long way to go in the season. But as long as you make it into the playoffs, a legitimate chance to win, no doubt.
No doubt about it. The other piece of news from the Brooklyn Nets, they just don't lose. It feels like ever. They've won 18 of their last 20 basketball games, 14 of their last 15. However, in the one-point victory against the Miami Heat last night, they might have just lost Kevin Durant for a stretch. Tough to say, waiting on an MRI. The next time Brooklyn is set to line up, at home against the Boston Celtics on a Thursday night, hopefully Durant is available. The first look at the wild card lines next, right here on Sports.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hi, Ryan Reynolds here for Mint Mobile. Are you looking for a beach read this summer? May I suggest your big wireless bill? It's got suspense, mystery, a slightly flat emotional arc, and a shocking twist where you realize you've been overpaying the entire time. Fortunately, though, Mint's story is better. Every plan, $15 a month, even unlimited. That's it. Happy ending. Zero tears.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 months, $90 for 6 months, or $180 for 12-month plan required. $15 per month equivalent to taxes and fees extra. Initial plan term only. Greater than 50 gigabytes may slow when network is busy. See terms.